And now the tape of a broadcast that no one heard. Let me explain. From time to time throughout his long and distinguished life, people would come up to Red Barber and tell him how much they enjoyed his play-by-play broadcast of one of baseball's most electric moments. The scene, Ebbets Field, Brooklyn, June 1938, the very first night game to be played there. The protagonist, Cincinnati Reds pitcher Johnny Vandermeer. He'd thrown a no-hitter in his previous start, and now, in the ninth inning in Brooklyn, he was on the verge of doing it again, something no pitcher has done before or since. And the problem. Red Barber never broadcast that game. The New York baseball teams then prohibited radio broadcasts from their stadiums, so the young Red Barber, working for Cincinnati that year, was back home in Ohio. Yesterday, in a column in the New York Times, Richard Sandomir reported the discovery of a tape recorded at a broadcaster's conference in Orlando in 1979. 41 years after the game he never broadcast, Red Barber stood before an audience and recreated the bottom of the ninth inning. We'll play you the tape and speak afterwards with the great play-by-play man, John Miller. If you'd like to talk with him about Red Barber and the art of baseball play-by-play, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. But now, here's Red Barber. It's the bottom of the ninth inning. Red 6, Dodgers nothing. Johnny Vandermeer walked 3 Dodgers, but did not give up a hit. So bases loaded, one out.
Here is the broadcast, which nobody ever heard. Johnny Vandermeer standing on the mound. He's got a look of puzzlement on his face. He's a big, strapping left-hander, 6'1", 190 pounds. He's a rookie, but he's been kicking around in the minor leagues because of wildness for some 6 years. And now, right at the brink of greatness, unprecedented greatness, he's gone wild. He's walked 3 straight hitters. Rosen is leading down off third base. Lavaggiotto off second. Dolph Camilli off first. Bill McKechnie is talking to this young pitcher, trying to get him back in the groove again. There's nobody warming up in the bullpen. It's going to be Vandermeer going all the way. It has to be. He pitched a no-hitter 4 days ago at Cincinnati against Boston. And tonight is his night. His father and mother are here. The girl he's going to marry. They're all here. And this crowd is now for him. They've turned their backs on their ball club, the Dodgers. They want to see him do it. Now, the batter coming up is Ernie Coy, a big right-hand hitting outfielder who was a fullback at Texas, and he can run like a deer. Vandermeer is ready to go. McKechnie's going back in. The Cincinnati infield is Frank McCormick at first. Lonnie Fries at second. Billy Myers is at short. The third baseman is Lou Riggs. Out in left field is Wally Berger. The center fielder is Harry Kraft, and the right fielder is Ivel Goodman. Ernie Lombardi, big snarl, sitting back at the plate, ready to give the sign. Coy up, Vandermeer pitches, and it's a strike. No balls, one strike. The score is 6-0 in favor of the Reds, but the score is not the story. The story is Vandermeer. Now let's see. Coy sets, swinging from the end of the bat. He's a big, strong fellow. The infield is back because Coy can run. Vandermeer delivers. Coy swings. It's a ground ball, half speed going down to third. Lou Riggs charges it. He's got it. His only player's at home. He throws to Lombardi, and the force is on Rosen. Two out. But the bases remain loaded. But now Vandermeer is just one out away. And the hitter coming up is Leo DeRocha, who's been in Brooklyn for a year since Branch Rickey sent him up from St. Louis. DeRocha, right-hand hitter, loose-footed hitter, and DeRocha is a dangerous man in the pitch. Vandermeer goes for the rosin bag, throws it away. Big left-hander steps on the mound, looks around. The outfield is straight away. He delivers. It's a strike. No balls, one strike. Leo, of course, is going to get a hit if he can. Leo's ready. So is Vandermeer. The runners take their leads. Two down. The pitch, strike two. No balls, two strikes. Vandermeer ready. Lombardi sets his mitt as the target. The left-hander comes down. DeRocha swings. It's a hard line drive going down the right field line, and it's foul. Just by a couple of feet in the right field corner. Now DeRocha gets back in again. Vandermeer has a new ball. No balls, two strikes, two out, three on. The pitch, it's a high fly ball going into medium center field. Harry Kraft comes under it, sets, and takes it, and it's a double no-hitter for Vandermeer. Thank you.
The Great Red Barber, recorded in 1979, recreating a broadcast that never was. The ninth inning of the second of Johnny Van der Meer's back-to-back no-hitters. John Miller, who broadcasts play-by-play for ESPN and the San Francisco Giants, joins us on the phone from his home in California. John, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And that is an amazing little piece of work, isn't it?
It really was amazing, and especially considering that he not only had not broadcast the game, when it actually happened, he didn't know anything about it. He was the voice of the Cincinnati Reds at that time, but not even doing a recreation of that road game. And there was no internet. There was nobody there broadcasting the game back to Cincinnati, as you had already mentioned. So all of these things he's mentioning, he didn't know anything about as it was happening. He even started the thing by saying, "There's a look of puzzlement on Van der Meer's face." So it is rather extraordinary. And the great thing was that he not only did not know anything about it, people started calling him at his home. His number was listed. Sandemir had this a little confused about, I think, the real story about his phone number. In his autobiography, Rhubarb in the Catbird Seat, from 1968, he said that his number was listed until after that night, because people called him from bars, they called him from all over Cincinnati, they called him until 4 o'clock in the morning to talk to him about this no-hitter. And as he said in his own book, he says, "I didn't know anything more about it than they knew. I was sitting at home. I didn't know the first thing about the game, but they all wanted me to comment on it." So after that, they changed their phone number, and the number was then put under his wife's name.
I see. And that was but he was able to develop such drama that 41 years after the event, and, well, we all know how the game came out, when DeRocher lines that ball foul, the people in the audience gasped.
That was the best part of the whole thing, because there's no crowd noise, and certainly the crowd in Brooklyn that night
had to be.
Became Van der Meer fans. They were hoping that he would do this unprecedented feat, and then the crowd in the auditorium there in Florida at this event at which he was recreating this game, they almost gasped when the ball was driven down the right field line and just ended up foul. They gasped and they laughed and they applauded. That was classic.
There are some moments in there that are just incredibly wonderful. That are, for example, as you suggest, obviously he wasn't there. He doesn't know what happened. All right, the look of puzzlement on Van der Meer's face. But nevertheless, he didn't say threw a fastball for strike one or a curve. He just said strike one, because he didn't know what kind of a pitch it was.
That's right. Well, you know, Red Barber was a great reporter of the game, and he did not believe in dressing anything up at all. He actually had a sense of drama, and he was very good, as we could hear very clearly, at creating that drama and conveying that drama. But when he did recreations, and the next year he moved from Cincinnati to Brooklyn and became the great voice of the Brooklyn Dodgers, but they would recreate the road games by Western Union. He'd sit in a studio by the Western Union ticker, and generally when the recreations were done, it was very commonplace at that time, the broadcasters would try to make it sound like they were actually at the park. They'd
right.
have recorded crowd noise. They'd make the crack of the bat sound and do all of that stuff. He said, no, that's just not true, and we're not going to pretend. I'm sitting at a Western Union ticker tape. I'm reading it off the ticker tape, and the only sound you heard other than Red's voice when he recreated a game was the sound of the wire machine rattling off the next bit of information. So I think that was part of who Red was. So he wasn't going to say it was a curveball, it was a fastball. He had no idea, and he wasn't going to pretend like he did.
Now let's get some callers on the line. We're talking with John Miller about that great 3 minutes of recording by Red Barber back in 1979, 41 years after he did not broadcast the last inning of Johnny Van der Meer's second of his back-to-back no-hitters. Let's go to JL. JL's with us from Iowa City.
This came up with me this last summer. I listened to the Chicago Cubs games on radio, and I also this last summer came across a radio program called Diamond Gems, which goes back and goes back to games and players and in the past, and they play a lot of clips from radio. And I noticed one day how vivid the radio broadcasts of the past were in giving you detail to let you see what was going on. Because about a day after I heard the program, I listened to a Cubs game, and they went through one batter, and they missed two pitches. They didn't even say. And then the next pitch was fouled off for, you know, ball two, strike one. We missed the first two balls. Didn't even say whether it was fouled up, you know, where it was fouled off, and so forth. And I think that's what I found missing in current radio, is that they don't recreate not just the drama, but they don't recreate the picture of what's happening on the field.
John, is that an important part of your job?
Absolutely. I think it's the main part of the job when you're on radio. And I think now people, especially young broadcasters, they grow up with baseball and other sports on television. So maybe I think this new generation of broadcasters hasn't grown up so much with the game coming to them on the radio and the whole art of painting the picture the way Red painted the picture. But I think that is a key. And I know Jim Woods was a great broadcaster, worked for many, many years with several different teams. And he came up under Mel Allen in New York. And Mel, the great voice of the Yankees. And he said that Mel, like Red, was a taskmaster. And an inning would end, and Mel would tap him on the shoulder and say, young man, when a guy hits a foul ball into the first base stands, into the lower deck, you've got to follow that ball and tell the people where it went, because that's the job. Where did the ball go? What happened to the ball? Not just fouled away, but where did the foul ball go? So he said he was a stickler for those kind of details, and that's the way it was done. I have a tape of Red Barber doing the 1936 World Series on the radio, Game 3, the Giants and the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And in his autobiography, he talks about the first World Series he had done and meeting with the commissioner of baseball, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who told him to just call everything that they saw, describe everything that you see. And he admonished them to let the umpires, though, do their job, because the umpires were going to be better at it than the broadcasters were. But otherwise, describe everything, and if the umpires have an argument with the managers about a call, well, describe that. But just leave the umpire to the umpire. So in that 1936 World Series, he described everything. And I think today the ears of fans would not be able to tolerate quite as much description, because he'd say, now the umpire, Major Kurth, wants a look at that baseball, and Hadley tosses it into the catcher, Lombardi, who turns around and hands it to Major Kurth. He inspects that ball, and he's going to keep it in play, and he tosses it back out to the pitcher, and Hadley, DiMaggio's up there. He's a dirt picker-upper. He rests the bat handle on his right thigh, reaches down with his left hand, grabs a handful of dirt, rubs it between his hands. Now he grabs that big piece of lumber with his right hand and stands, literally described every single thing that was going on. But as a young broadcaster hearing that, I was struck by that there are so many things that can be described. And I advise every young broadcaster to get those CDs of the old games that Red Barber, Mal Allen, those people did, because I think there's a wealth of information that can be gleaned in terms of how it's done, the art of the play-by-play broadcaster.
JL, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with John Miller of ESPN and the San Francisco Giants. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And the other part of that broadcast, even for a casual fan, John Miller, some of the names are so evocative. Leo DeRocher is still a player. Of course, most of us who remember him as a manager many years later. Cookie Lavaggetto, a name that just rolls off the tongue. You'd kill to be able to say that name on the radio. And I love the way he called Ernie Lombardi the big schnoz. Of
big
course,
schnoz.
the schnoz was Jimmy Durante, the big schnoz. Now, that was Ernie Lombardi.
Well, there were a couple of things that struck me there. DeRocher, number one, and I had not realized that he made the final out until I heard this and read the article in the Times yesterday. DeRocher was the playing manager of the Dodgers at that time, 1938. So the manager of the ball club made the final out in the no-hitter. Lavaggetto was one of the guys who had walked, as Red recounted. He was on second base. And that kind of presaged that dramatic game 9 years later that Red actually did broadcast, and of which there's a famous tape. Bill Bevins of the Yankees had a no-hitter in the bottom of the ninth at Ebbets Field, but he kept walking people. He'd walk 10 or 11 guys, and Lavagetto came up as a pinch hitter and got the only hit of the game off the right field wall, and the famous broadcast of Red saying, here comes the tying run, and here comes the winning run, and the game was over. So there's Lavagetto 9 years before in a famous no-hitter, and Vandermeer was wild. He walked eight. He had walked the bases loaded in the ninth inning, including Lavagetto. 9 years later, Bevins did not walk Lavagetto, and he beat him. So maybe the key to getting that second straight no-hitter was walking Lavagetto, unlike 1947.
Also, I love the description of Leo DeRocher as a loose-footed hitter. I don't think I'd ever heard it before, though I heard Red broadcast an awful lot of games, but it tells you exactly what kind of a hitter he is.
Yeah.
Slap hitter, banjo hitter.
No, Red was I've only ever heard him on tape, these old tapes of ball games. In 1949, I have a tape of the final game of the World Series. It was at Ebbets Field, the Yankees and
got 30
the
seconds,
Dodgers.
John.
And the pitcher for the Dodgers that day was Rex Barney, who ended up being the public address announcer in Baltimore for years and years and years. And Rex was wild, and he walked a bunch of guys and whatnot. And the game was a long game, and the Yankees ended up winning it 10-6, a lot of offense. And they turned on the lights during that game, which had not been allowed up till then. The commissioner of baseball was at the game, and he said, okay, turn on the lights. It's getting dark. And Red says on the broadcast, well, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in World Series history, a game is going to now be played under the artificial electric lights. And they had turned them on, so that was the very first one in 1949. So,
John,
Red was...
Gotta go, John. I'm sorry.
As there was.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks.
John Miller of ESPN and the Giants. Ari Shapiro will be here tomorrow with the best in Christmas music. I'll see you again on Monday. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.